The scriptures often speak about money and poverty, or wealth and poverty, and today's readings are among them. We have the sad story of the rich man whom Jesus invited to be one of his followers, but who turned away sad. Now, we know that the mentality of the people of Jesus' time was that to have wealth, to be a wealthy person, was to be blessed. And the most blessed people are the ones whom God has given the most good things. So this man, when he approached Jesus, would have been seen, even by the apostles, as someone who was greatly blessed, and therefore very happy. This mentality is also quite common in our own times. People think that the more money you have, the happier you are. The less money you have, the sadder you are. Of course, that's a kind of superficial impression, but it still lingers, even though we know many rich people who are very unhappy, who are in the news all the time, and we know many poor people who are very happy. We meet them all the time. So experience, and our own experience, should also tell us that owning more is not necessarily the same as being happier. But still, it's a lingering impression that it would be better to be rich than to be poor. This is why Jesus' statement is quite shocking, even to us, when he says how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. How hard it is. Meaning, it's actually harder for the rich than for the poor. So it's not a blessing after all. From God's perspective, he's making life harder for them, not easier. See how upside down our perspective is in comparison to God's perspective. And then when the disciples are amazed at what he says, he says it even more bluntly, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. Now, he doesn't even say just for rich people. It's hard to enter the kingdom of God. You would think his mission would be to make it easier. Well, he is the one who makes it easy, because he opens the door, he opens the gates, and he makes it possible for us to enter, not because of what we do, not because of what we have, but because of what he gives us. So that's the turning point. It's not about us at all, or how great, or how holy, or how rich we are. It's all about God's mercy, his generosity. This is why it's hard for us, because we tend to depend on ourselves. And the more we do that, the harder it is to let go and let God be the one to save us. So Jesus says it's the wealthy have it harder than the poor. Now, the apostles are just exceedingly astonished by this. Who can be saved? Who can be saved? The gospel starts with the rich man saying, how can I be saved? How can I enter into eternal life? And the gospel ends with who? Not just this one rich man, but who? Can anybody be saved? And this is where Jesus drops an even more shocking statement on us. For men, it is impossible. It's impossible. Don't try to buy a ticket. It's impossible. Don't try to work your way in. It's impossible. Don't claim credit. Don't claim inheritance. Don't claim status. Don't claim holiness. It's impossible. Forget it. That's how blunt he is about it. For man, it is impossible. So don't think that you're going to save yourself. But then he adds, but not for God. It's not impossible for God. All things are possible for God. So the one who entrusts himself to God is the one who's rich, not the one who has received more. You see, what's being revealed here is the truth about love. God is love, and all he does is love. Love is other-centered. Love is gift of self to others. And this is what God is doing all the time. So the more loving person is the one who gives more, not the one who has more. The happier person is the one who makes a greater gift of himself, not the one who receives more gifts. So this is a reflection on wealth that we have to keep allowing to sink into us, that we will be happier if we give more. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean giving money, because how much money can you give? If once you give it all away, you don't have any more. Then you don't have any more to give? No, that's not it at all. In fact, that's just more of a symbol than hardly a reality at all. The gift is really of ourselves. If we give ourselves, we are happier, because we are fulfilling the call to be like God. And if we're not giving ourselves, if we're holding back to ourselves, we're preventing our own happiness. Now, that's why money can be a trap, because we have this tendency to cling to it, like this rich man in the gospel. Jesus sees that this man has a desire to be happy, and he wants him to be happy. So when the man says, well, I'm trying to follow the commandments, I've been following the commandments all my life, Jesus, looking at him, loved him. That's a key thing. He loved him. He didn't put an impossible burden on him. He didn't curse him by telling him to get rid of your money. He didn't steal from him. He loved him. He gave him something. What did he give him? He gave him himself. He gave him an opportunity to be one of his disciples. He offered this man something much more precious than anything he had. Get rid of all that stuff and follow me. In other words, let go of the things that make you focus on yourself, make you think that it's possible for you to enter the kingdom. Let go of all that. Do something good with it. And then follow me. In fact, we can't follow him unless we do let go. It sounds in this passage like it's one and then the other, but really it's all the same. When we take a step toward God, we're also taking a step away from every other security or possession that we might be clinging to or that might be hindering us. So the way to enter the kingdom is to follow him, which means that faith is much more precious than any earthly possession. This is what St. Peter says in today's first reading. This is beautiful, a beautiful reading. It takes a little effort to slow it down and ponder it. But here's Peter at the very beginning of his first letter. Remember Peter, the fisherman who left everything to follow Jesus, who abandoned his boat and his nets to follow Jesus, the man who said to Jesus at one time, we have left everything to follow you. So Peter knows what it's like to be abandoned to God. And this is what he says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection. Blessed be God, because he has given us a whole new life, a new birth to a living hope. He's given us an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, unlike money, which is perishable and is corruptible and fading. So he's making this comparison very deliberately between our worldly possessions or our worldly life and the life of faith. okay, this is our inheritance. It's kept in heaven. It's safeguarded through faith. This is something that is already offered to us. A little further down, he says, yeah, we rejoice because of this inheritance, this gift, this life of faith, even though we have to pass through trials. Even though we pass through trials, we have to suffer, yes. But that doesn't take away our inheritance. It doesn't make us poor. In fact, it can make us even richer. It makes us more and more abandoned to God. And this is what he says. So that the genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold. What is more precious than gold? Gold is the most precious metal. That's the thing that people crave and slave for and die for. We're talking about something that's more precious than gold. Faith. Faith? Okay. No. He goes on. I mean, that's a reading to ponder, but the central point of it is, again, about what makes us rich. What makes us rich is not ourselves. What we own, what we do, what we have, what we achieve, none of that. It's all what we receive, and we're richer when we allow God to bless us and when we participate in the process of blessing others. So we're blessed because we receive, and we're blessed because we give. We're not richer because we are saving more. We're richer when we are giving more. And the richer we are in that sense, the happier we are, the closer to God we are, the more firmly established we are in the kingdom of heaven.